Well, greetings in the name of Jesus. This is Bishop Harry Wood, and I'm coming to you today rejoicing for the goodness of God. We've got much to be thankful for today. Even if there's affliction in your body or sickness or pain, I'm telling you right now, we've got much to be thankful for. And today we're going to be discussing again some of the Psalms 119, and this will be episode or part nine of a teaching that we have been doing, and it is actually Psalms 119, verses 65 through 72, and we've been looking at this as how we're looking at the 119th Psalm in reference to prayer. Let's read that passage of Scripture. It says in verse 65, "Thou hast dwelt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." I want to have a word of prayer with us today as we go into the Word of God, as we begin just to expound on a few things that I believe that will be not only information of something to learn today, but how we can apply the Word of God today, and that God would just teach us and open our hearts today to receive. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that the Word came in flesh and dwelt among us, and it was Jesus. And I speak today, Lord, in accordance to myself, but also every one of our foundational faith family that's listening. I pray for that of the Holy Spirit just to speak into their lives today as the Word of God is spoken and as we've read it today. And I'm just thanking you that hearts are going to be challenged, lives are going to be changed, and we're going to be a better believer. Lord, I'm believing there's someone today that's going to hear this word, and it's going to encourage them just to turn their whole life over to you and trust you as their Lord and Savior. We ask these things in Jesus' wonderful, glorious name. Amen. Again, it's so good to be back with our foundational faith family across the United States and several other nations. I know I go to call in nations, and I'm going to forget Germany and India, Russia, the United Kingdom, Pakistan. It's just a few that we are in. And Kenya, we're so thankful that we've got members in the family of God and listeners today of Foundational Faith Ministry. And right now, before I go into the Word, I just want to mention that if you want to correspond with us, we do have a Facebook page. It's called Foundational Faith Ministry. We also have a Foundational Faith Ministry group. We do have videos on that of YouTube. And we just encourage you to reach out. I want to give you two email addresses. One is foundationalfaithministry2020@gmail.com. The other is my personal email address. It's pastorharry8700@yahoo.com. We would just love for you just to correspond to us and let us know that you're listening. And now let's go to the Word of God today. In verse number 65, I know we've read this passage of Scripture. I hope that you was able to read it with us. And if you weren't, I hope that another time will come where you'll be able to sit down and read this passage of Scripture and maybe re-listen to this podcast today. First of all, when we see verse number 65, it speaks to us and tells us, it says that the Lord has dwelt well with his servant, O Lord, according to thy word. And when I look at that today, it just reminds me of how good the Lord is, how good that he is in the Lord and his doings. No matter what the Lord God, Jehovah, ever does. Even if it's in correction, he is appropriating for our best interest. The King James says here, according to thy word. So the word of God is how it's being appropriated for our best interest. What God's word, his wisdom, his very character of who he is. And then another writer said this in verse number 65 in reference to it that I thought was remarkable. You have done good things for your servant, as you have promised, Lord. And that's just putting the icing on the cake, where we know that the Lord has been good and the Lord is doing good things. But this writer said, as you promised. As we approach the Word of God in every setting that we read, or and definitely learning to pray the Word of God, and even right now as we're expounding on this verse, I just want to thank the Lord, and I mean that in prayer, that he's a good God, that he's a God that appropriates things for my best interest. Even if it may not seem pleasant at the moment, it's still for my best interest. It's for your best interest today. As we look on to verse number 66, verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. The psalmist is making this, I believe, a request, but also a petition. He's asking the Lord again to teach him, the good judgment and knowledge. And these even passages and thoughts here in verse 66, the very word judgment again references back to his word and us receiving the knowledge of it, the understanding, the learning of it to put in practice. As the psalmist said, good judgment, which is his wisdom. And if we are handling and we're praying and we're seeking for God to teach his good judgment, his wisdom, isn't that wonderful to know that we're receiving God's characteristic, one of those, and that's his wisdom, so that we can actually have knowledge. And you know, it's very important to have knowledge and to learn. But unless we place it in applicable form of practicing it, or operating in it, or benefiting from it, and knowing how to do it, which is wisdom within itself, how to use the knowledge that we have, I can go out and step into my truck or my automobile, and I can turn the key, and I can drive out of my driveway, but you know, I know how to drive, but if I don't use wisdom with what I know, how to operate a vehicle, it could become very deadly. But again, I want to just reemphasize how the psalmist is declaring that he, even in this passage of scripture, is talking about how that he had believed his commandments. You know, the Lord knows every one of our hearts. And I know I'm taking a little time with this, and I know I'm going in a slow pace, but I just really believe that this is needed today. You're not here on this podcast by mistake today, but God sent you here, or you tuned in, or you are a subscriber, because the Lord wants to remind you today. He wants to remind you that there's been times that, yes, you know his word, you trust him, you believe, but folks, we've got to step into that real realm of confidence, even when we're not seeing it at that moment. The psalmist declared his trust, his faith in God's commandment, his word. Just the assurance to know that we are receiving when we make that petition to God for Him to teach us, we are standing in confidence that what His Word says is being appropriated for our best interest that we mentioned in verse 65. Let's look at verse number 67. Because the psalmist begins to transition a little bit with his thought, but yet I believe it's beneficial for us. He says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." The psalmist is saying at least three things here to consider. First of all, I believe that he's talking about the conflict of sin. The conflict of sin, because he speaks about, "I went astray." And you know, I'm not talking about, or I'm not trying to make reference to just someone out here that just totally walks away from God, or an unbeliever today, or very much a Christ rejecter that does not want to accept God. But every one of us, because of this old flesh, we have the tendency, if we're not careful, and don't stay focused on the Word of God that's been appropriated for our best interest, it's easy for us to stray in some aspect, as the psalmist is saying here, that he went astray. Even when we are not careful to handle the Word of God right with appropriating God's promise and what He has said, and even the aspects of what we need to do in reference to His Word, it's like being astray or being afar from it. And yes, it can cause, and it does cause, afflictions or affliction. We'll talk about that a little bit in just a moment, affliction or being afflicted. But I want to say here, with this thought in mind today, that the psalmist not only is talking about the conflict of sin, or when we fail to have faith or believe or act on God's word, or totally disobey God, God forbid, but the conflict of sin, going astray. And then I believe there's the conflict of consequences that's being referenced in this particular verse 67. He says there, "Before I was afflicted," and then he says, "I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." If we actually go astray, can cause afflictions. Now, don't misunderstand me. God doesn't send afflictions. God may allow something to happen, or it happens. But God is the one that wants to bless us. God is the one that's already made the propitiation for our sins, and He's also made our healings, and He's made the way for us to be restored to Him. But there is the conflict of consequence if we do not acknowledge what God's word is and His promise. There can be affliction. It can cause affliction. It can cause us to not to be blessed in something God said that we can have. So there's consequences. And then thirdly, the concept of correction and blessing. The psalmist here says, "But now," that's where we need to live, in the now. Because see, if we live in yesterday, and especially if it's failures, or even if it's blessings, we're not looking for what God's wanting to do in the right now. We're either stepping back into condemnation of where we failed, or we're staying positioned in our thought of, "Well, God did this great thing." Well, that's wonderful, and that's a testimony. But we've got to stay in the now, because he says, "In the now have I kept thy word." And what is that doing? It's establishing the fact that as we keep his word, we're in the now, and we're seeing the works, and we're seeing the wonderful aspects of what God is appropriating to us that we're benefiting from. We're being blessed. God is taking care of us. That's wonderful, folks, when we can live in the now and we can trust His Word and we can keep His Word. Then in verse number 68, we see that the psalmist begins to talk about, I believe, a proper acknowledgement of the Lord. And what do we mean by that? I believe, first of all and most of all, God's goodness. And we've been talking about that. The psalmist says, Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The psalmist is saying here that he acknowledges. We need to acknowledge the goodness of God. We need to look for God's action. God's action is seen. And then continually we need to act upon God, teach me thy statutes. Never, 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 never should we ever become unteachable. We need to be like the psalmist. Teach me thy statutes, which is God's law. You know, I thought about this concept and I wrote this down before I began to come to share today. I began to think about the word law. And definitely we're talking about God's law here, His Word. And we think about law keeping order. We think about it being for a purpose. I thought about this, and this is what I jotted down. Law is not to merely restrain us, but to produce safety, well-being, living in peace. I'm reminded of something that Dr. D.L. Parker said, a dear friend of mine that's gone on to be with the Lord. He traveled intensively to Israel for over 30 years, taking small groups to go and to visit the Holy Land. And even studying under some rabbis, Dr. D.L. Parker made this statement one time. He said, when we look at the law of God, or we look at the Ten Commandments especially, taking them in consideration for the illustration of what I'm saying here that this dear brother shared. He said, we see that it says, thou shalt not. But really in the heart of God, what He's saying, would you really think about, would you really consider stealing something from somebody? Would you really consider committing sexual impurity against definitely God and someone else? And when we get right down to the nit grit of what God is saying there, I have a better way. Oh yes, fulfilling my law and not doing these things, but there's a greater thing. Because God can bless you with what you need, and even the very beauty of marriage and how that can be instead of immorality. God has appropriated His Word to bring us wellness, well-being and safety, and to live even in peace, His law. And then as we turn to verse 69, the psalmist says, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. You know, I began to look at this passage of scripture and I began to think about the fact that it's talking about the enemy. It's talking about those that will actually strike against us in some aspect. It's talking about people's motives. And what we need to realize, because the psalmist here says, the proud. Proud means the arrogant, having or revealing an exaggerated sense of one's own importance or abilities. Now, an individual can do that about themselves, but also the proud, being arrogant, having or revealing an exaggerated sense of one's own importance or abilities. It can be derogative towards someone else. It can be derogative. But the psalmist is also wanting us to consider the word presumptuous, I believe, that actually could be rendered from that of being proud of a person and their behavior, failing to observe the limits or that's appropriate. When I think about that, what I think about is that the proud here that's being spoken of in verse number 69, it says forged a lie. Actually, they're a liar. They will exaggerate. They will lie against you. But you know what? The Bible tells us what we're supposed to do. What we must do is to keep His precepts. You know, sometimes there has to be the need of confrontation where we have to maybe deal with something, and it definitely needs to be in a biblical perspective, or even maybe that with witnesses and or even spiritual leadership, especially when it's a believer. But you know, sometimes we just need to not respond to some people's ignorance and some people's attack and some people's lies and their arrogancy. We need to just concentrate on what we must do, what we must do. And the psalmist says, we must keep your precepts. We need to keep the word of God. At that moment, if we have to turn to the concordance to find the scripture that we need, and we need to stand on that scripture, we need to make it the matter of our prayer over that particular situation that someone's forged an injustice against us or a lie. And the psalmist tells us that we need to do this with our whole heart. That means our whole being. And folks, I'm going to be honest with you. A few weeks ago, I was going through some things that I was really pushed with, some deadlines, and some anxiety began to just rise up. And I felt the pressure that day, or the day before really, and through some study and things that I was taking care of and having to do some things at my desk and preparing for some things, I just felt the pressure. I felt the pressure and even the sense of lack of concentration and almost, before the day was ended, even my eyes being tired and my body being tired. And I rose the next day and began to feel this anxiety as I went back to my study, knowing that I had to get some things accomplished in a timely manner. And I remember as I sat down, I began to pray and I said, God, this is not what you have for me. This anxiety, this doesn't belong to me. And I began to talk to it. I began to talk to God about it. And I began to quote scripture. And because, you know, if God sent His Son and He could stand on the helm of a ship and speak to His creation, and He could bring safety to His children, His disciples upon that boat, do you not think that He cannot do that for you? That He cannot do that for me? And I felt a peace come over me that day. Oh yes, I had timelines. I had things that I was dealing with. But I felt the peace of God. I felt the anxiety go of, I can't get this done. I can't get that done. It may be as quick as I want to. But there again, our whole heart is where we've got to concentrate. Our whole being, everything about us, that we're keeping His precepts. We're applying His word. We're applying what God has best for us, our interest. I can't get away from that first verse. Verse number 70, let's read it again. The heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Now that may be a little strange concept that the King James gives. I'm going to read that out of the, out of another writer's words. and that's the New Century Version. And verse number 71 says this. It is good, or it was good for me to suffer, so I would learn your demands. Actually, I meant verse 70. I apologize. I looked down before I realized I had read 71. Those people have no feelings, but I love your teachings. The writer here is telling us that these folks, some that are against us or some force that seems to be, actually they're being motivated by their self-indulgences. That's what's actually being implied here by that, as fat as grease. Their indulgences, their satisfactions. But listen, we must remember what we're being told here. And let's just right now just say, Lord, let me learn to delight in thy law. Let me learn to delight in your goodness today, Jehovah's word. You know, I think that it's wonderful when we could take the word of God, and we may have read that scripture 100 times, we may know it by heart, but we take that moment and we savor what it's saying. You know, there's times with food, we may be anticipating going to a certain restaurant or a cafe because we've been there before and we know what's on the menu and we even know pretty much what we're going to get. Our taste buds are already ready for it. But sometimes, even in the midst of that, we don't savor. We go in, we rush, and we don't savor what we're eating. We don't enjoy even the very flavor upon our palate. We don't enjoy what we have there. But let's take time to savor what God's word says to us today. And I can't get over verse number 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. Whatever God appropriates, is for our best interest. Oh, hallelujah. And that within itself is a trust. That is that not only a trust, but it's an acknowledgement that we're relying on God. I hope you're receiving something from this. I feel this in my spirit today. I know I'm taking a little time here. Let's delight in the word of God. In verse number 71, verse 71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. We mentioned a few minutes ago, and maybe we didn't say it that way, but we know that affliction can come from that of outside forces of even the enemy or people that's being used by the enemy. Also sicknesses and disease and things of this nature, or abuse or whatever can be the results of affliction. But when I look at this particular passage of scripture, we need to realize what can be constructive with being afflicted. What can come out of it? What can be benefited from it? You know, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there was a passage of scripture that even Jesus himself said that this sickness is not unto death, but it's to glorify God. Talking about his friend Lazarus. God doesn't glory in our sickness. But you know what? When God's word is applied and victory comes, God is glorified because it's what he said. To be afflicted means to be grievously afflicted or troubled. But you know, if we will do as this psalmist said, that I might learn thy statutes, wherever we've been afflicted, let it be that we have turned to the word of God, or will turn to the word of God and learn. But also, let's realize that even the word learn, learn thy statutes, is to gain or to acquire. It's knowledge of a skill in something. It's either because we've studied it, we've experienced it, or maybe we've been taught. You know, there may be some things that you've went through, and if you and I have definitely applied the Word of God, that affliction can be constructive for us because it becomes a testimony of what God can and has done. Oh, I could just run right now and talk about what had taken place 6 years ago in my life. And I'm going to do a podcast one of these days and just give a little more information and testimony about the wonderful miracle healing in my body. But there again, the psalmist is telling us that we might learn his statutes, even in the midst of affliction. And then in our last verse, I believe this just tops it off in such a way that's just glorious, because verse number 72 says, "Thy law," or the law of thy mouth, "is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Now that is a powerful scripture. That is a scripture really that just, maybe I shouldn't say it this way, that just blows my circuits, blows my mind, because I don't think we can really comprehend what the psalmist is saying here, other than just putting it in the perspective the best that we can. He's actually talking about the value of God's law, the value of it. The first thing that I want us to see is the value of his word is it's that has come forth from the mouth of God. And let me give you an example, an explanation of something that actually happened. The Word was born in Bethlehem. The Word became incarnated in flesh. The Word grew up in flesh and grew in stature and with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the Word was led by the Spirit after being baptized, and the Word went into the wilderness, and the Word was spoken by the Word. Shoo. And Jesus himself, upon being tempted by the enemy, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That is authoritative. That is powerful. That is more powerful than even any nuclear compound that we can think of. We're talking about what God said. And you know, we can make some emphasis here of the value of bread. Well, first of all, how much does a loaf of bread cost? First of all, how much would it cost you to make a loaf of bread? First of all, what's the value of bread? It's a staple. It's that we can live on and be nurtured or be ministered to with that of being fed. I even think about here at our home with the land that we have. We actually day-old bread, and our daughter has the opportunity to get old day-old bread. And we take that bread and we break it and we throw it out into an area of our backyard. And we actually watch the birds come and partake of that bread. It's valuable to them. We've even seen some of God's nature, the deer come right up almost to our back porch and get that bread. We've seen the little squirrels and we've seen the raccoons. We've seen God's creation come and be fed by that bread. It's valuable. Even when it's a day old, it's valuable. But folks, when we realize what Jesus said to the enemy, how valuable would a piece of bread been right there at that moment for our Savior? Because he had not ate in 40 days. Surely he hungered. But folks, there's something to be said there. When we receive the very value of the Word of God, how much more valuable is what God has spoke out of His mouth, and how much of value is it to us and authoritative when we will allow it to come out of our mouth and speak it to the circumstances, to the situation. And then the psalmist says it like this, and this is where I just cannot fathom where to go with this. Because he says, and I'm going to read the verse again, "Thy law, or the law of thy mouth, is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." He said thousands of gold and silver. And the word thousand there is not just in the singular, it's plural. The thousands is innumerable. It's priceless. How he makes the comparison to what we consider of something in this world of value. Where we back our money up, where we back our currency up with. And you may be listening to this podcast today, and you may have millions of dollars, or you may be living on just a few coins every day. But let me say something to you. Once you and I, rich man, poor man, realize the power and the authority and the value of God's Word, we will definitely see. We will see, as verse 65 says, that it has been appropriated for our best interest according unto thy word. God is blessing us. Hallelujah. Father, as we close this podcast, I know we've took a little time today, but God, I feel like that this has been something that's being said to our podcast family that's needed. And not just today, but in the future as others tune in. I just want to thank you for your word that is so valuable. Lord, it's that of nutrition to us every day. Lord, we thank you for the word of God that came and stepped out of heaven, and he came to be flesh and he dwelt among us. And Lord, today that by the Spirit of God we can have that rhema, we can have that Spirit anointed word come alive in us. Lord, every nutrient of your word to come alive in us when we will partake of it, when we will take it and we will say, "Yes, Lord, I accept what your word says, and I will not only say, but I will accept what your word says, because that's what my confidence is, and it shall come about. And I give you praise for it, Lord Jesus." And we ask it in Jesus' name today. I pray that you've been blessed by this. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I just challenge you right now just to call upon him. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's Romans 10 and verse number 17. I just want to challenge you today to talk to God. Just talk to him just like we're talking. This has been Bishop Harry Wood with Foundational Faith Ministries. It's been a pleasure to be able to come back to you, our podcast family. If you're not a subscriber, please do so. Please do so. Subscribe so that you'll know each podcast that's coming. Share it with someone else. You're welcome to share it on Facebook. You're welcome to share our podcast so that others will know about it. And whatever platform that you hear it on, let them know what platform that you hear it and how it's available. God bless you. Until our next time.